Our last guest today on this Weather Wednesday is Joel Curtis from the National Weather Service, here to share some winter precipitation totals and give us a summer forecast. Joel, you are a ray of sunshine on this rainy day. Thank you for coming in.
You're sure welcome.
Great. So, you know, we don't forget anything here at KTUO. A few months ago, back in November, you were here talking with Shelley Delaney, and your colleague Rick Fritch was here too, about a possibly warmer, possibly wetter winter here in Southeast. If we could, Scott, take us back and let's hear a little bit about that program from that program.
Sounds like the two of us are not giving you certain information. And that's exactly right. We are not giving you a dead certainty like, oh, yeah. You know, we're
just you guys aren't fortune tellers.
but we know we do have a signal. And so it's better than tossing a coin to say that it's going to be warmer. This is going to be a warmer winter. Okay. It's better than tossing. And we have some indication that it's going to be a little wetter. But the signal is strong in the temperature and not strong in the precipitation. But – you know, it could work out. I mean, it could work out as snow. I'm a cross-country skier. I love to ski, and I really hope that it's snow. If I had to bet right now, I would bet against the snow.
I would too.
Well,
and I would actually.
Okay, so that was from November 14th. Fast forward to today, Joel. How did those statistical prognostications pan out?
Well, I think we were dead on with a warmer than normal winter. We certainly were warmer than normal. I don't.
Do you know how much?
I'm looking at February was actually colder, but when you look at January and December, we were a bit warmer. Looks like our average temperature about 2 or 3 degrees or so. Precipitation was more of a crapshoot, and that's what we were saying,
right,
you know, at the time too. April turned out to be normal precipitation, and I really wasn't thinking that because we had such a wonderful March. Remember that?
It was.
You know, just God, it was just gorgeous.
Seems like a lifetime ago.
Yeah, we're all saying spring, and well, March was actually pretty dry, and then April was a slight little bit wetter than normal, and a slight little bit warmer than normal. So April is, you know, I mean, you put it down. I wouldn't have called April to be as wet as it is. And right now we're starting out in May. I mean, this
very wet.
You know, everybody is like gone back to winter clothes.
Right.
And, I'm putting my rain gear on every day to ride my bike to work. So that isn't working out so good.
So are we still in a drought? I understand you had an event yesterday talking about the drought conditions or what
we
consider.
We had a wonderful workshop yesterday. Mm-hmm. It was called the Southeast Alaska Drought Workshop.
Not a contradiction in terms.
Can you believe it?
Right.
I mean, having a drought workshop in a temperate rainforest, and yet that is the case. There are serious water issues the further south you go in the panhandle. So Ketchikan, Metlakatla area, they're way behind. As you come up a little bit, it gets a little bit better. And then finally you get up to Juneau, and then we're just a little bit behind. But here's what I think about with drought. There's actually two kinds of drought. The first kind of drought is what they call a precipitation drought. In other words, we're just not getting plain enough water, okay? And that's true to some extent. We are not getting enough. And I have to tell you that our partners over Alaska Electric Power and Light, those guys are doing a wonderful job planning for the less precip that we have. But even more important, they're planning for this abysmally low snowpack that we have. So we're really, really behind on snow. So that's what we call a snow drought. Think of snow as your Fort Knox, and you should have pallets and pallets and pallets of gold bars in it. but we're down to about 2 gold bars.
Hmm.
And our snowpack is way, way down, and we'd really wish that we had more that could melt gradually into our hydrologic systems and give us the water when we need it.
Right.
And not only that, it helps to cool the water temperature down. So we're behind in that, and that's very, very unfortunate. And I'm almost begging to be wrong. I wish I was wrong, and I really hope that we have a wetter than normal summer just to make up for some of this stuff that we need.
Okay. Well, so those of us who are planning our campouts and our cookouts, we may not be with you on that program, but I think we can understand why you feel way. Let's talk about this summer. So tell me kind of what you're looking at, where you're getting these signals when you look ahead to the summer season and make some of these predictions.
So short-term forecaster, mm-hmm. I think I do all right as a short-term forecaster, and my expertise is definitely not in the long-term mm-hmm. signals that we see, either monthly or what we call seasonal forecasts that go out 3 months. So I rely on people smarter than me back in Washington, D.C., called the Climate Prediction Center. And what they're saying is the signal is very, very strong that we're going to have a warmer than normal summer.
Mm.
And that's pretty easy when you consider that, one, we're in climate change, and number two is that we're getting at the end of our normal period. So they take the normals on a 10-year basis, and we're working on the next normal numbers that we get will be from 2010 to 2020.
Okay.
So we're on the backside. So it'll always seem like we're really much warmer than normal because we're comparing it to a different decade
right.
or so. Okay, so you get that part. But then the harder thing to forecast, especially in the long range, is precipitation. And what the Climate Prediction Center is forecasting is below normal precipitation through July. But then when you look at the months of June, July, and August, they're saying equal chances. So this is a probabilistic forecast. And so what they're trying to do is tag an extra little bit of percent on what they think is going to be the most likely thing. So for example, like that May, June, and July forecast, they would say 53% chance of it being drier than normal. That means you have a 47% chance it's going to be either equal or normal or wetter than normal. That being said, I see a little ray of hope in that August, they had to change the signal for August. So I'm very, very cautiously optimistic that, you know, they're at least seeing a little hint that August could get back to normal or so, and we could start filling reservoirs and things like that, and our streams would flow.
Right, right. Well, in the meantime, and this is beyond your purview probably, but are there things that we here in Juneau should be thinking about that we don't normally think about in terms of water conservation?
Well, right now we're not in any sort of water emergency. You know, we still have plenty of tap water. That's going on. And like I said earlier, our utility is managing this water problem so well that I think we're doing pretty darn good. But there's all kinds of other impacts from low water or drought. Mm. And so you think about, the number one thing that comes to mind is do the spawning streams for the salmon have enough water? And what is the water temperature? Temperature is a very important thing too. And what the scientists were telling me yesterday at the drought workshop was that there are winners and losers as far as streams go. So some of the streams may actually benefit from warmer because why? Because maybe the glacier is done melting and you have less silt, and so the fish can get in those feeder streams and spawn better.
Right.
And they still have cold water from the glacier. On the other hand, maybe another stream that isn't glacier fed might get too warm and you have too many sunny days and the water temperature goes up and then you have a very poor spawning run. So it can work out. It's a way more complex system than you or I would ever dream. And honest to goodness, I'd rather forecast the weather any day than fish runs.
Okay, that's helpful. Well, I know things like allergens in the air changes and things, you know.
Yeah, I think, well, first of all, one of the things, we had an eminent scientist, and I'm sorry, I forgot her name, get up and talk about all the diseases that affect our trees around here. And, you know, we talked about – she talked about the beetle kill and how that's really gone down from a few years ago, that isn't so bad. But there are other critters, if you will, that eat leaves or bore into bark or whatever. And what we rely to keep those down is a mold or a mildew that attacks those things in their larval stage. And if you have a drier than normal summer, you don't get that. So then those critters can go to town and start affecting the trees.
Right. Well, this is so fascinating. Joel Curtis, I wish we had more time, but I want to thank you for helping us, I guess, have a little perspective, healthy perspective when our cookout gets rained out. Sometimes that's a good thing.
Yep. Well, you're sure welcome. And you know, we really should try to do this every month so we can catch up and correct our forecasts if we're not headed the right direction.
Yes. Thank you so, so much. Wishing you all good weather out there. Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Sentinel Coffee.